Welcome back.
You sent it to him?
I did.
She sent I am Grant the picture of the fart costume.
Yes,
costume,
a little boy dressed up as a fart. Some people speculated that he was a loofah. Or a hairball.
This horn is fitting, too.
Yeah, that's what made me laugh, hearing the horn. Anyway, you could Google it. It's very easy to find. Kid dressed up as fart. There you go. Boy, when did we start being able to say the word fart?
It used to
kind of be taboo, you know?
Today?
It's funny that was a taboo word, and think of all the others that were granted access before it. Yeah. Fart? What, you want to say pass gas? I don't like two-wording it.
Pass gas sounds gross.
Cut the cheese is not fun. I don't like that at all. I love cheese, and I hate it when people talk about cheese in that way, or like, oh, I like a cheese. When I have a cheese in wine night or like rosé with my girls, I like a cheese that kind of smells like stinky feet. Is that weird, girls?
This is funny
you
bring this up
because
yesterday I am Grant. Was like, hey, did it smell weird when you came in here? And I'm like, I don't think so. He's like, I don't know if it's me or what. And I go, no, I didn't smell anything.
Well, she left in a hurry too. So I was like, oh my God, did she just not want it? But we're getting close to the clock, but yeah.
So I'm like, check the garbage. And sure enough, what did you find?
There was Parmesan popcorn cheese bites in here, and that Parmesan was just wafting up from under the table. And I'm like, am I just funky today?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
I will admit, I have been in situations where I'm just sitting here during quarantine when I have stretched my non-shower streak some days longer than I should.
Gross.
And I'm sitting. Donna, be supportive.
No.
And I, alone in a room, I smell myself. And I realize I'm smelling my body right now.
Ew.
This is various parts of me are trying to signal. Brain me to get in shower.
Uh-huh.
I am Grant.
Anyway, thanks for oversharing. So here is the sitch. A lot of people are doing work meetings, mostly Zoom meetings probably, but I should let you know that Microsoft has just applied for a patent for a sensor that monitors people's body language during work meetings. So what they do is they watch people's facial expressions and they analyze their speech patterns, and then they figure out how bored that person is. Now, this isn't necessarily a bad thing because it could be a way for bosses to know if they should improve their meetings and make them more engaging. Right?
There. Okay. Are you listening, bosses?
You hear us?
You hear us?
Is this
the rally cry?
So hopefully it won't be used to like call out employees, but maybe more to make bosses a little more self-reflective and how they conduct themselves in a meeting. No word on when this is going to be out for the public, by the way.
Now, the other way to track boredom, which some say has been around since human eyes existed, is eyes.
Oh, yeah? How do you tell if you're just not looking?
Oh, can't you? Aren't you always psychoanalyzing things? You know, when I was talking with a therapist a couple summers ago, I was talking to him about how psychoanalytical I am, meaning I feel like, and I'm sure that my wife would be like, there's all sorts of things that you don't pick up on, so why don't you just sit down and stop, you know, patting yourself on the back. But in many ways, I feel like I am hyper aware of people's facial expressions and what they do when they're uncomfortable. Like with coworkers, I know this. With family, I know this. And then what I'm doing, the trap of that, is I psychoanalyze each moment of, oh, they're uncomfortable now. Oh, they seem happier.
I have a friend who is very...
And that's not a great way to go about life.
Much the same as you in that way, where she is really hyper aware of people's expressions. Like, I remember one time she was like, why are you making a face? I'm like, I'm not making a face. This is my face, you know? But it's just kind of like always reading people, always sizing people up. Like, did you notice that so-and-so just looked the other way when you were talking? I'm like, no. I didn't. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Well,
that
let me
aware.
Tell you, you're living a less stressful life in that regard. Because then what you do is you analyze moments and experiences. You analyze experiences moment to moment. So whereas most normal adjusted people would probably just look back and say, oh, that was a fun day. In each encounter, you're like, was this a good one? Or was, oh, that seemed a little bit bad. Oh, she's doing the thing again, that to me. Huh. Where you just want to turn it off because then you're over analyzing, as opposed to just stepping back and giving each experience grace, yourself grace, the other person grace, and like, look, this will all fit into a mosaic.
Do
that
you?
Works
yeah. See, like most people look at things in the big picture sense, but I feel like there's a name for that condition where you're also take on the stress of other people. You know, like I think there are people who feel things so deeply that they take on your pain, even if you're not experiencing it in that way. If you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going through just a stupid example. Say I'm going through a divorce. I have a friend who will take on that stress for me when even if I'm not feeling stressful. Lose sleep for me, worry about me. Do you know what I mean? That's got to be really difficult. Do we have a... Oh, I see I am Grant on the phone. Thought maybe we had a caller. But anyway...
He said he wanted to order a pizza.
Do you do that too, Steve? Not the pizza part, but...
No, not quite that as much.
Other people's stress?
No, but I don't relate with that as much as in each moment being aware of little facial expressions, little things, little tics that people go to when they are stressed or uncomfortable or whatever.
Interesting.
And then that colors the picture of the moment, which then at the end of the day, you look back and are like, oh, well, that was good, but that didn't go great. It's a good reminder for me in this moment, but also for anyone who thinks like that, to free yourself from that. Just
free your mind. Thank you.
Who sang that? And the rest will follow.
Was it CNC Music Factory, maybe?
Couldn't be.
I'll look for it for you. But while we're still on the subject of meetings and work. Oh, and Vogue. Very good.
Yeah.
Three ladies. According to a new study out of Washington University in St. Louis, it is a good thing when people daydream at work. So the next time you get caught daydreaming, you tell your boss you're not slacking off. You are using your imagination to make billions of dollars for the company eventually. Researchers found that it helps people come up with more creative solutions to whatever it is that they're working on, and it helps them get through challenging projects. Okay.
I get that.
If you get caught doing it too much, though, it can have a negative effect on your review.
You think?
Right. When was the last time you had a review, by the way?
It's been a little while.
Yes.
I'm supposed to get them annually, and they always happen 3 to 6 months too late. I mean, they're not too late for me. I don't mind the reviews. I like a note. Like, push me in the right direction. I know when left to my own devices for too long, I need help.
Sure. I think all of us are that way.
To our boss's credit, she's a very good note giver in emails and like, hey, here's how we're going to approach it. Hey, I want to make sure you know that you can do this. And like, nice and clear, not too many words, not too few words, just the right amount that you need. And it's like, oh, that clarifies that. Cool.
Sure.
Boom, moving forward, whether it's good or bad.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't seen her emails in a while. They go to my junk folder. But I mean, I remember them being pretty good.
Oh my God, I love it. Hey, you guys, don't forget you could check out My Talk's holiday pop-up shop. What is that, you ask? Thank you for asking. The store is open through the 6th. So where are we now? It's the 3rd. What that means is you can purchase My Talk gear. We don't always make it available year-round. There's only certain times of year where you can do this. So you can give it as a gift. Maybe give it to yourself.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
All orders placed will be delivered in time for Christmas. So that's great. You get a little peace of mind there. Check it out, though. A limited time pop-up shop. MyTalk1071.com. Your keyword is store.
Time to go to college.
It's time to attend the College of Pop Culture Knowledge.
It's like quiz ball.
Three trivia questions to find out who's smarter. Donna.
Donna's a smart one.
Or Steve.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
And here's your host, I am Grant.
I want to see how smart you are.
Oops. Grant's going to pick up the phone, and Steve and I are going to talk about how big of a gap there is between his score and mine. What is it, 75 to 106 or something like that?
It's significant. It's north of 30. I think I am up by about 32 on you right now. It's been a minute since you've won.
So you think you have 107?
I believe I have 107.
And I have 75. Maybe I have 76. You don't know me.
Hey.
I feel like the categories are very difficult lately.
That I feel scared almost every time that I hear the topic, but I don't show it like you show it.
Well, I am Grant is coming up with the topics now, just so you know.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It's easier for me to come up with them and write them myself than to try to do what I did on Monday.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So
making it harder for us, though.
Well, I'm learning your tendencies, and I think we'll get it down to a science here pretty soon. So,
okay, cool.
For the 181st edition of the College of Pop Culture Knowledge, with a score of 106 for Steve and 75 for Donna, we have Steve on the phone from Stillwater. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hi, Steve.
What up,
Hi.
Steve number two, and I asked him who the most famous person from Stillwater is, and he said his wife, Kate, actually.
I love that
nice
answer.
Play.
So
that's awesome.
Very good answer, Steve.
Holidays are coming up.
Didn't Jessica, yeah, right. Didn't Jessica Lange live in Stillwater for a little while, I thought?
She did, yeah.
There we go. But she's gone now, so your wife takes over. Okay.
All right, and you'll be playing for a prize of a viewing code for an at-home virtual screening of the film I'm Your Woman on Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. And you can watch that with your lovely wife, Kate, if you win,
Oh,
Steve.
Yeah.
If you win.
Steve.
Yeah. Mm. All right, and today's topic for the College of Pop Culture Knowledge is celebs turned politicians.
Ooh.
There's some, and I've stuck with the more famous ones here, so this should be... A little bit easier for you guys. All right. Now, Steve, who do you want to play with? Donna has 75. Steve has 106.
I'm going to go with Donna.
Yeah. Steve, bye.
Here's my fear. I'm going to leave. My fear is that Steve and Donna combined will be too big for me to overcome
you
today.
You got it.
All right. I'm going to go.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye, Steve. All right. Steve. When I start the question, once I answer the first question, I will start the timer, okay?
All right, and Steve, okay. Steve's not going to take part in this until after I answer all the questions.
Yep, so hold back until she gets done, all right?
Yep.
So your first one, this actor was elected the 40th president of the United States. Who is it?
Ronald Reagan.
This actor turned politician co-starred in the movie Twins alongside Danny DeVito. Who is it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right. Now, this actor turned politician was Gopher on the sitcom Love Boat. Who was it?
Oh, I can't remember his name. I knew you were going to ask me that. It's Fred something. Fred? I believe his first name is Fred, and I'm going to need some help from Steve. He was Gopher on the Love Boat. I know for sure Steve Patterson won't know this. So
this might be your question. Okay. Now, Steve, can you help her with the last one?
Gandy.
Fred Gandy.
I believe Fred Gandy.
Fred Grandy. Okay.
Wait, Fred what?
I thought it was Grandy, Gandy, something like that. Gandhi?
Okay. I'm going to go with your first answer.
Okay.
We're going to take your first answer, Fred Grandy, okay? And you want to change any of the other ones, or you think she's good on what she said?
No, we're really good.
All right. Okay. Now let's get Steve back in the building here.
Okay. He's not in the building, but we'll get him back to the microphone. I don't know. That sounds not right, Bimmy. Okay. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey. Really good. Oh, spirits sound high, Donna.
Spirits are high. Because you were gone for a little bit. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey!
I love you, Steve. All right. Now, you know the game, Steve. Again, it's celebs turn politicians. As soon as I ask the question, I'm going to start the timer. You ready to go?
Yes.
All right. This actor was elected the 40th president of the United States of America. Who is it?
Ronald Reagan.
All right. This actor turned politician co-starred in the movie Twins alongside Danny DeVito. Who is it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right. This actor turned politician played Gopher on the sitcom Love Boat. Who was it?
Yes. Oh, crap. Love Boat.
The Love Boat.
I think, zip it, Steve. I think you're going to say it, and I'm going to be like, ah, darn it.
No, he was from,
did he become a politician in like New York or New Jersey?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, sweet.
So here, the first answer was correct, Ronald Reagan.
Yep.
Fun fact, in 84, he had a record 525 electoral votes of the 538 possible.
Wow.
And you know, he beat Walter Mondale, our guy. The only state that voted for him was Minnesota.
That seemed a little lazy in hindsight, no?
And Arnold Schwarzenegger was the correct answer. He was elected the 38th Republican governor of, he was a Republican governor, but 38th governor of California from 03 to 11.
Wow.
And lastly, Fred Grandy. Steve saved it for you there.
I had the Fred part. Yes, he got the Grandy part.
Yes.
Yeah.
So from 1987 to 1985, he was a member of the United States House of Representatives from Iowa.
Iowa.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, queen.
I told you, Donna and Steve together too ominous today. Hey, while we have Stevie Boy on the line from Stillwater, why don't we play the tiebreaker just for kicks and giggles?
Okay, and Steve, you can take part in this. Shout it out if you know the answer.
Okay, this actor, and I'm going to just wait till the clip plays till you give the answer, if you can, because you might know it based on the question, but the clip is the clue, okay?
Okay, you don't even have to give us the question. Okay, just play the clip.
Who is this?
I deserve good things.
Oh, that's up.
I am entitled to my share.
Oh, God, what's his name? Phil Hartman.
Al Franken. I already said it.
Al Franken. You did say it. Darn it.
Yes, Al Franken played Stuart Smalley? Smiley? Smalley. Excuse me. On SNL. Yeah, can't read today. And he was a U.S. Senator from Minnesota from 09 to 18.
Donna, did you say Pat at the beginning of this?
I said Phil Hartman. I might have said Pat.
It's Pat.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Oh, Steve, thank you.
Stillwater. Thank you.
All right,
hang
Steve.
On the line and have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Aw.
That was really nice that he said that.
76.
You're getting there, buddy. Yeah, you're really doing well, I think. A lot of people think that this might have turned the tide, is what they're saying. Don't forget, if you want to play, we play this game every day at 10:30. You can call us at that time at our number, 6,516,411,000.
I am Grant did a fabulous job.
Nice job,
I am
Grant.
Not just because I won, but it was just smooth. It was right on.
It seemed like it was going to be really easy. And then he went full Fred Grandy at the end.
Right.
That's difficult.
I see what he did.
You know, shortly before Al Franken was removed from office after he found himself in a controversy of an old picture popping up. Remember the whole thing a couple years ago?
I sure do, on the plane.
He had come to Hubbard Broadcasting to do there was something that like the local government here in Minnesota, they did a ball or something like that. This is all going to be stitched together. But they did this once each year. And I believe like the Democrats would have an opportunity to put the entertainment programming together during one year. And then it would be the Republicans, something like that. He was coming to do a sketch for this. And he was doing the sketch on our news set. And I had to be a fill-in for somebody for the actual sketch. And I was there delivering the news right next to Al Franken. It was like we were on like Weekend Update or something, doing back and forth little news jokes with each other. It was a bizarre
fun
experience.
Really?
He was very nice. It was a bizarre doing comedy with him.
His headquarters were just down the street here. Because,
is that right?
Yes, my nephew came to visit. He was just young. He was like maybe 10 years old. And the one thing he wanted to do was go to Al Franken's headquarters. And we walked in and he was there, but he was on the phone. And his assistant tried to go and get him. And he was like, I'm sorry. He's just going to be tied up for a while because my nephew wanted to meet him. That's sweet.
Oh, that is sweet.
Thanks, Steve. You're my best buddy, boo.
Okay.
My dog's already looking thinner. Thank you for asking.
Oh, your 108-pound beast.
He's not. I refuse to believe that is how much he weighs. He has a waist.
Yeah, because you know what they say.
He didn't have a waist when I got him, so I know he's trimmer. What do they say?
Never trust a veterinarian. Donna's going full anti-veterinarian today. Sorry to all of our vets out there.
No, I just think their scale needs to be recalibrated.
You think she had her left foot on and was just pushing it down? Thinking like, hey, I'm going to make her get these diet pills for this dog. Oh, whoa. He's 250. That's crazy.
No, I didn't think that. Like, he's got to get, like, lap band surgery. You know? I wonder if they do that.
Let me tell you a fun story. I hope not. About George Clooney, the everyman. He already said on CBS Sunday Morning this past weekend that he's been cutting his own hair for with a Flo-bee, yeah. And the world collectively was shaken.
And now that you look at it, you go, oh, yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
It is always one. It's just occasionally he parts it.
Yep.
Well, he was talking to Jimmy Kimmel about a parenting mistake that he and Amal made with their little ones. This from MSN.com. He said to Kimmel, we did a really dumb thing, which is they speak fluent Italian.
Oh.
I mean fluent Italian at 3, but I don't speak Italian. My wife doesn't speak Italian, so we have armed them with a language. I'll say, go back in and clean your room, and they'll be like, hey, papà stronzo. He continued while using an Italian accent.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious.
And Clooney said, I'm from Kentucky. English is a second language for me, so he certainly can't keep up with Italian. And then George Clooney, stars that are just like us, say he's been getting in touch with his domestic side during quarantine, laundry and mopping and dishes. He said he would stain the entire house, though he's not sure if it turned out. Kimmel said, did you do a good job? He said, probably not, but it kept me busy for a while. It kept me out of the room with the kids speaking Italian. And then finally he said that he does the cooking. Imagine this. Clooney does the cooking for the family. They're not like hiring in a private chef, I guess. He says, I'm the chef. My wife, she does amazing things. She gets journalists out of jail in countries like Azerbaijan, Mumbai, and Egypt. But when it comes to cooking, she makes reservations. She went to hard boil an egg once, and she put the egg in the pan, turned on the stove without any water, and walked away. Yeah.
I don't feel so bad.
So he's handling the cooking. Yeah, I know. Stars, they're just like us.
Where do you think he did that interview from for CBS Sunday Morning, that one?
It was outside of his house. They said that.
But where?
His house in L.A.
Outside of, you think that's L.A.?
Yeah, no, it is L.A. They said that it was L.A.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was in front of one of the garage doors that he stained.
But did you notice, like, his driveway was all cracked and a little run down?
Oh, no.
Go back and look at, like,
was it really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't care because it makes me feel better about my own driveway, which has cracks in it. But, yeah, it was all, like, cracked up. Like, he needs to repave it. Yeah, go back and look at it. We'll come back with some tips. Steve's got some info coming from the CDC on quarantine time adjustments. And also, if the hand sanitizer in your car freezes, I've got a tip on what you should do with it. Coming up next on My Talk. Appreciate you guys listening to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Hey, we should give a big congratulations to our $10,000 winner. This morning, Sherry Workus. She is $10,000 richer.
Yeah.
Isn't
amazing.
That fabulous?
That's awesome.
She is 10 grand richer today.
Yes.
That's pretty dang cool.
And it's
cool,
really
man.
Funny because her husband was sleeping and, you know, the morning show was like, yo, wake him up. And she was like, no. She's like, I got to let it settle in and maybe not even tell him. Wouldn't that be funny if she didn't tell him?
Until, like, she told him.
Yeah,
right?
Like, maybe she'll book some fabulous vacation or something, you know, to, I don't know, around the world.
Okay.
All right, I'm going a little crazy. Okay.
How far 10,000 goes.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I blew up. Anyway, congratulations to Sherry. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Time for a tip.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy. Everybody on the show getting tipsy. Everybody on the show getting tipsy. Everybody on the show getting
The CDC, boy, there's a group that we have talked about more this year than we ever have in the previous years of our lives. On Wednesday, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shortened the recommended length of time to quarantine after COVID-19 exposure. This is big. The new guidance shortens the time to 10 days for those without symptoms and 7 days for those without symptoms who also present a negative test. The decision was intended to make quarantining guidelines easier to follow. They do maintain the safest option is still to quarantine for 14 days, the previous recommendation, to prevent the spread. But as you figure out how long you need to stay quarantined or from home, kids home, or whatever it might look like, they shorten that up a little bit. So those numbers have sort of been changing. The New York Times puts it a different way. You can enter quarantine after 7 days instead of 14 if you test negative. So that's the big number.
Okay, so this is for exposure. Correct. I get very confused because exposure, and then if you're COVID positive, how long do you have to stay away from people? I heard that that was shortened.
I heard that too, but I don't have that thing.
Okay.
Isn't that a once you test positive, then they ask you when your initial onset of symptoms was, and once you document that, then 10 days after, so long as symptoms have been gone for a couple of days, then after 10 days you can re-enter the world?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just don't know.
Hey,
I just don't want to get that. I think I already had it, even though I had the antibody test and it said I didn't. But, you know, my symptoms were in January. Same with you, Steve, right?
February.
January, February. So mine was like January 31st through February 2nd or something like that.
And then they are saying we had it here as early as December in the United States.
I believe that. Because then, but I waited until September, I believe, to get the antibody test. So who knows how long it stays in your side? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well, while we're on the subject, here's a good tip as temperatures drop. If you ever leave your hand sanitizer in your car, which is what I do, and you find it frozen the next morning, throw it away.
Really?
Yes, queen. It's not because the cold weather ruins it. It's because if it freezes at all, it was probably no good in the first place.
Oh, because the alcohol content should be high enough where it wouldn't freeze.
You betcha.
Like when you put your vodka in the freezer.
Right. It just keeps it really cold and thickens it a little bit, but it never fully freezes.
Yes, queen.
It shouldn't freeze until the temperature gets really low, like, I don't know, 50 below or lower. So if it does freeze, it means there wasn't enough alcohol to be effective, or it was maybe a cheap knockoff that didn't even have the ingredients listed on the label. But just so you know, alcohol-free hand sanitizers do exist. A new study actually find that they might even work as well as the alcohol kind. They use another ingredient. It's called benzalkonium chloride to kill the germs. But most of the stuff you find in the stores is going to be the alcohol type. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Here's how to remember if you've locked your door. We've all done this. You get in the car, you drive away, and you think, shoot, did I lock the door?
Like the house door?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What door did you think?
The car door. And I'm just like, well, you could just press the button while you're driving.
Oh, your brain. Worthy of study, possibly.
I know. You just said lock the door. You didn't mention which door and where you were driving away from.
Anyone would be driving in the car and thinking, oh, shoot, did I lock the door to the car? You dummy. I'm sorry.
You that's know what? I do it all the time. And I'll tell you why. Because I have a very large animal that's always in the back seat of my car. And I'm like, what if he ever just pushed that car door handle open and went flying on the highway? That's how my mind works. I have a lot of...
And lock your windows. I've had my guy push the window down. And then the little guy jumped out while we were in the parking lot.
Shut your face.
Yeah. No. And then as I was driving away, too, my little guy jumps out the window. And I just kind of see something fall in my side mirror. And luckily, I saw it. Otherwise, I would have kept turning and crushed him. But So if you can lock your windows, do that.
Take that, Steve Patterson. Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying now? About how my mind works?
I maintain that no one is ever in their car saying, shoot, did I lock the doors when they're in the car?
I do.
Anyway. Okay.
Only because of the dog.
Excuse me. You think your dog, without opposable thumbs and being in the morbidly obese state that he's in, could pull the lever of your door? It's a pull operation, not a push for that reason.
I don't know what they're capable of, okay?
Well, by the eyeball test.
He's got a nose. He's, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
Better to be safe.
If you keep forgetting if you locked your door at home.
Yeah, nobody cares. We're going to go.
Do something silly after locking it. One person says, even say, it's Tuesday and I locked the door, because the act of figuring out what bleeping day it is helps you to remember that you actually did it, because you there was a little process around it.
Can I tell you, I have left my house door open so many times. Oh. So many. I come home and I'm like, oh, I left the front door open. Sometimes open? I wake up open. No, not open, unlocked. Sometimes I get up in the morning and the garage door is open. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, that. Let me check and see if the lawnmower is still there.
Oh, I have to tell you a story about when the cops came to our house at like 2 in the morning. I was out of town and they were flashing lights into our window.
Oh, save it.
I'll tell you why. That's coming up next. That and a dirt alert.